But today is phase two of this initiative. So the first one is giving, the second one is serving. But before we even get to talking about that, I wanted to explain where we came from with this whole term, be rich. So this all started back when we read something the Apostle Paul said to his young protege, Timothy. So the Apostle Paul was Saul, that was his name, but his name changed when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he decided to continue to spread the message of Jesus, that he died and rose from the grave so that we can have life, to everyone, especially around the Mediterranean rim. He started planting churches all across that rim. And one of those churches was in the church, was in Ephesus. And after he finished planting that church, he left and left young Timothy there. So he would write letters to encourage him and to teach him how to be a pastor, how to lead the church, how to combat false teaching, and how to be the man of God he desired to be. And in his first letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul commanded him told Timothy to command the people of the church to do something specific. Here's what he said. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. I don't have to talk about that. You all know that, right? If you've looked at the market, your 401k the past couple of months, it's like, yay, oh gosh, right? It's just like, it's so volatile and uncertain. This is, even back then, 2,000 years ago, this is what they were talking about. He says, but instead of putting your hope in wealth, here's what you should put your hope in. God. Put their hope in God. He says, instead of putting in something shaky that's not a firm foundation, put it in your heavenly Father who loves you and is for you, and that will never change. It's always gonna be like that. So you can put your hope in there. But he says, but then he piles it on and says, there's another reason why you can put your hope in God. I love this statement. And if we just stopped at this statement, like I can keep talking about this the rest of the morning and we could leave with that. But here's what he says. No, sorry, can we go back? Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That dispels the myth that God's up there and he's angry at you. That he wants what's worst for you. That he's waiting for you to mess up so he can smite and judge you. He's not. He actually provides everything in our life for our enjoyment. I mean, think about that. The capacity for our enjoyment comes from God. It's a gift from God. And when we find pleasure and happiness in him and in the many blessings he's given to us, our natural response is gonna be what he says next. But before we get there, just think about that for a second. That's what gives us an attitude of gratitude. If we live that way, we'll be content, all by putting our hope in God because he provides everything for our enjoyment. But there's a reason Paul's saying that. It's this next statement. He says this, command them to do good, to be rich, there's our term, in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, this term be rich is where we get the initiative from, but that the reason we use those words is because when Paul is explaining this, he's saying, you need to be plentiful. You need to be generous. Don't hold back. Don't be stingy. Don't guard. Open your hands up. Be generous with your finances, but also with your time. So typically in the first month when we talk about be rich, we talk about giving. And financially, but now I want to talk about something earlier that Paul mentions in the same verse about giving of being generous of your time. So he says, command them to do what? Good. To be rich in what? Good deeds. Now stick with me because I know you already know where I'm going, but stick with me. He wants you to do so much good with deeds towards other people. Now, this Greek word, which was what the New Testament was written on, actually means this. It means works, and the Greek word is aeron. And it's the same word that was used to describe Jesus' actions towards people. This good works, this good aeron. Same word Paul uses to describe doing the work of the Lord in other places, but also James, the brother of Jesus, even says doing the work of the Lord, the aeron of the Lord, is what you should do. Like doing the work of, I'm sorry, not doing the work of the Lord. He's saying faith without works is dead. Now, that doesn't mean you need to do good works to earn your salvation, to earn a right standing before your heavenly Father, to even earn his love. No, it's the result of what? Making God your first priority. Putting your hope in God, which gives you that solid foundation because he's giving everything for our enjoyment. Our response is not to keep it to ourselves. It's to share it by serving and loving the people around us. Now, here's the problem. If you're anything like me, you're like, I want to do this, but I really don't have time. Like, I want to love and serve others, and I'll do it occasionally, but I really don't have time to reorganize my life around this teaching. It's so much easier to give money, isn't it? It's less costly to give money than time because time is not a renewable resource. It's a commodity that we are never earning, going to get back. And so for many of us, when we hear a message like this, we go, well, I don't see time in my schedule to do this. Great, I'll try, right? So here's what I want to do. I want to illustrate something for you that you've probably seen as a leadership principle or something with these jars over here. So imagine this jar is your week. And inside of it, the space inside of it is all the time you have in a week. And I've got some rocks here that explain how we typically fill our week. So maybe you're like, you know what? I've got to remember to send that email to schedule that meeting. Maybe I actually need to go to that meeting. Maybe I need to do my homework. I need to do the laundry. Oh man, I got to pick up the kids everywhere, right? Like I just got to, right? And it's like, I got a project. Oh wait, this is probably your to-do list, right? That's a big one, right? I need to put that in there. And then we start doing stuff. It's like, buy diapers. I got to book the babysitter. I really want to plan that vacation, right? More kids stuff if you have kids, right? And they got, this one's like that school project or that work project you got to do. It's going to take forever and you really keep putting it off. And you just keep filling this with all these rocks and of all the things you need to do. And then by the time you get to the end and you're like, oh no, great. And then more kids stuff, right? And it ends up, it feels chaotic. It's just like, and then you try to squeeze this all into a week and what happens? It doesn't fit, does it? And this is how most of us live our lives. Anybody else getting anxiety from this right now? You're like, that's my life right now. But this is what happens to us, is we get overwhelmed. And so when we hear any kind of message or anything we want to put into our life, we look at our jar and we're like, I want to, I hope to, but I can't. And basically this jar is your week, but it's full of busyness. So I learned of this principle first when I read the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And he says, your problem is that you need to prioritize the rocks. So I have the same rocks here as I do in there. And these rocks, what you need to do is, you need to put, he says, prioritize them. So the biggest rocks are your biggest priorities, your things you absolutely have to get done this week. And he says, put those all in the jar first. And then once you've got your big priorities and you've prioritized correctly, then you take all the medium rocks and you fit them in. These are the things that are just not as important as the big rocks, but you still got to get them done, hopefully within the week. And so you fill the jar up, right? And then come the small rocks. So then these are all your small rocks that are not as important as the big rocks or the medium rocks, but you want to do them, maybe hang out with friends, maybe watch a show, maybe it's just smaller things that you want to do, and you pour those in. And what ends up happening is they fill all the spots, and then when you put the top on, it fits. And look at the difference here. Which one is the life you want to live? The more chaotic one or this one? Here's the thing though. We're really good at prioritizing our rocks, aren't we? We know what's important in our lives. But if we were honest, we're really bad at the organization part and putting them in the correct order. And what happens when we continue to live this way and we prioritize, but we don't organize? Well, that's when you're stressed. You're constantly overwhelmed. You're reacting to life and surviving instead of living the peaceful, full life, the freedom that you want to have. And then we should all over everything in our life, right? We say, I should go on that vacation. Man, I really should fix the sink or do that house project. Or even, we should make church a priority. But we don't, because we look at our jar and we're like, where is it gonna fit? There's nothing we can do. And so this brings up another principle that I wanna talk about for the rest of our time today, and it's this. We organize what we prioritize, right? If something's a priority, we're gonna organize our lives around it to make sure it's happened. Now here's the thing, sometimes it's intentional. Most of the time it's not, is it? So let me flip the script to help us understand this a little bit better. We don't prioritize what we don't organize. So you've heard it said probably, you make time for what matters most. So is it really important? Is it really a priority if you don't make time for it? Think about that. Is it actually important if this is your life and these are your priorities and you can't fit them all in and they're scattered everywhere? Like, is it really a priority? Because here's what ends up happening. If we were to be honest, if we were to sit down at a coffee shop, here's what I would actually tell you. This is what actually happens in our lives. We organize what we desire. That's what we end up organizing our lives around, what makes us feel good, what we want to do, what we think we should do, which probably isn't that real important, but we really want to do it because it's just, we enjoy it. And usually it's not bad things. None of these are bad, what I'm about to say, but this is just the way we do. We end up organizing what we desire, not actually our priorities. Let me give you some examples to illustrate this. Kids' sports. You want your kids to be in sports, to learn great values, and to maybe even one day go pro, right? And so you sign them up, but then what happens? Your schedule is dictated to you, and you're forced to organize your life around it. Practices, shuttling kids, games, sometimes travel, right? That's just how it works out. That's how it happens, but it's because you desire your kids to be in it. The same thing happens if you want to go on a vacation. You can't just show up at the airport and go, let me on the flight. You can't show up at the hotel and say, give me a room. You've got to spend some time, carve out a week, take off work, take off school, and then book all the activities, the hotels and the flights. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it. So you end up organizing, or even your finances, you organize around going on vacation. And this is true of everything. If we want to see that certain someone, you know what I'm saying? Or eat at that restaurant with the incredible dumplings, or even go to that sporting event, you have to organize around that priority. And this is especially true for retirement, right? You've got to organize your exit. Sorry, it's not going to happen. And we know that. It's all truth. And this is the problem, is we organize our lives around what we desire. And what we desire, it ends up dictating our schedule when we organize that as a, quote, priority and shows what's most important to us. If I were to sit down with you and look at your calendar for the past month, without even asking you, I could tell you what's important to you. You can, so take, and that's one of the things I want us to remind her is like, that is what becomes important, is where you spend your time. And so because our lives are less like this and more like this, we hear a message like today about serving and reorganizing our whole life around prioritizing others. And we're like, nope, I'm too overwhelmed. I'm too busy. I can't even think about that because my mind is so full. Here's what's crazy. The Apostle Paul understood that this is what was going to be the rebuttal. He understood, and he wrote this, again, 2,000 years ago to that audience, but it applies to us today because he says, hey, I know you're busy, but you still need to reprioritize this and reorganize your whole life around this because you can't afford not to. You are always going to be busy. There's always an email to send and meeting to attend. There's always laundry. There's always taking kids somewhere. There's always people to hang out with that want to hang out with you. There's always vacations that you want to do. There's always going to be something that's going to be grabbing your life and your schedule. Here's how he responds. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Just think about that. If you do what Paul is talking about, which essentially Jesus talked about, then you will create a stability, a place where you can stand on and know you're doing well. How well? Here you go. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And what's that true life? Freedom, joy, peace, fullness that only Jesus can give to you. But you've got to follow in his footsteps and do what he did. In fact, Jesus talked about this repeatedly. He constantly said, love one another. He said, words are great, but love is best shown through actions. In fact, he told this story one time about the Good Samaritan, if you've heard about this. And it's a parable where he explains how this guy gets beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road. And he's just laying there. And two religious people walk by and they say, I'll pray for you. Jesus loves you, and keep going. The third person, a Samaritan, stops, bandages his wounds, takes him to an inn and pays the innkeeper to continue to take care of him until that man is ready to go back into the world. Jesus looks at the crowd after telling that story and says, that man had mercy and compassion. Go and do likewise. And that's what he did. He didn't just talk about it. He did it. He went to the disenfranchised. He went to the least of these. He also said, serve your neighbor. In fact, instead of going around Samaria, which most Jews did just to not go through it because they didn't like those people, He went through it with his disciples for one woman, and it changed everything for her and the town she was a part of, and he paid attention to her, and he served her by and loved on her. You see, Jesus even said he came to serve and not be served. And if he's our model, we should do that. And then he finishes the statement, and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus left heaven and prioritized you over anything else. And he died and came back to life so you can have a full life in him and through him. And so that's what this is all this is about. He prioritized lives over busyness, right? He prioritized lives over busyness. But for us, it's harder. This is more tangible. And sometimes we feel like this is a badge of honor. I'm busy. I feel important. I feel like I'm getting things done. And listen, I get you. I'm the same way. I write things on my to-do list I've already done and scratch them off just to feel better, right? I don't know if you do that, but I do. But in reality, we're not really living the way we want to live and the way Jesus wants you to live. And Jesus is reminding us here, I want you to experience and enjoy life, the true life, but it only comes by reorganizing your whole life and reprioritizing serving others. Now I get this. This is a big message. I'm asking you literally to change your life and to change your whole perspective on life. I get that. So let me give you some tangible steps that might help you do this week. So if you're watching online or if you're listening to this later and driving, like do this later or do this afternoon if you're here. I really want you to lean into this. They're simple steps, but I believe it'll change your perspective and help you live the way Jesus wants you to live. So the first step I want you to do is reflect. So this week, take a moment and look at your jar and reflect. Think about what needs to be in here and what shouldn't. Am I really spending time on the things I actually want to spend time with? Is this the reality I want to have, or is this the reality I want to have? Because do you look at this and go, I'm overwhelmed, I'm exhausted. And so ask yourself, what needs to be there? Really, right? And that's step one. Take some time, look at this and reflect. Then step two, remove. Stick with me. You're gonna have to cut something. So as you do this, you're gonna look and you're gonna realize there's something that I'm spending my time with that I've either made a large rock, a medium rock that needs to be a small rock, or even completely removed, right? Maybe it's a big rock. Whatever it is, now that you reflected, look at your jar and say, what do I need to cut? Is there an activity or a who I need to cut? Like if there's a relationship that keeps pulling you away from doing the things Jesus wants you to do, maybe you need to cut something from your schedule. And I don't know what your priorities need to be. This is a you thing. You need to take the time to do it. But here's the thing. You've got to reorg and reorient your life in order to do this. Otherwise, life will dictate it for you, won't it? We know how it is. The current of life is always moving forward and it rarely goes to where we want it to go. So maybe you need to cut something for your schedule. Is there something God's been calling you to do that you haven't been able to do? Or that there's people you need to be spending time with and serving that you haven't been able to do because you've been so busy. So reflect, remove, and last, replace. Now that you've removed something, what are you going to replace it with? So some questions you can ask yourself is, who do I need to spend time with and serve? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your family, maybe it's coworkers, maybe it's friends. Who is someone you need to spend time with and serve? I mean, it could even be as simple as making church a priority so that you're reminded to live like this every single week. It could even be one of the nonprofits who are out in our lobby right now, who are investing in our community. Maybe you need to spend some time serving with them on a regular basis so that you can help reorg and reorient your life around this teaching that Jesus wants you to live so you can have this life. Side note, then after you've done all this, don't do this and not write it down. You've got to put it somewhere visually. If you're like me, if it doesn't make it on my calendar, it ain't gonna happen. Like it is not gonna happen. My brain is too full, I'm too distracted, I have to write it down. Because when someone brings something to me and it's not on my calendar, I'll be enticed because usually it's a fun thing, or hang out with somebody, go see a movie, go do something fun, or get distracted by something that's not on the mission God has called me to do. But if it's on my calendar, I can say, I really wanna do that. But I've decided to prioritize and organize my life around this, so this is my priority. Can we find another time, or I'm just gonna have to say no. You've got to put it somewhere visually. Liz, you'll just keep living this way because this is the promise. We're good at prioritizing, but we're bad at organizing, and you need to organize it and put it visually somewhere. And that helps you be reminded of what you need to do. Again, back to the Apostle Paul. He knew this about us, and so he kept writing about this same exact thing. Here's what he told another church, the church in Galatia. He says this, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We're called to have that life that we just talked about, that full free life that Jesus offers. But he says, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh." That's what this is. This is not being intentional with your life. This is focusing on what you want instead of what God wants for you. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And here he quotes Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus talked about. He said, what should be our biggest priorities? Love God and love people. And so we've got to reorient our whole life around this priority of serving others. And for those of us who are Christ followers, remember, that's our goal. To be like Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I still believe you could do this. You don't have to believe what I believe or what we believe, but think about it. What if organizing your life around generosity actually gave you more joy, not less? Listen, you don't have to buy into everything I'm saying, but test this out. You might just find out it's a better way to live. I mean, side note, science even proves this. There's physical benefits to organizing your life around serving others. You get stress reduction, improved cardiovascular health, enhanced immune function, and increased longevity. It's worth it. Just saying. Now, you still might not be convinced. You might be sitting there going, Raul, I see what you're doing here. Listen, I get it. I really don't have the time. And actually, I'm doing good deeds, good works already. I let people merge in front of me in traffic. Like, I'm nice to people. I sometimes give money to the person at the red light. I'm doing this already. Keep doing that. You should do that. But that's easy. That's reactive living. Those situations just happen if they happen regularly, but it really doesn't cost you much or affect your life or your perspective. And I get this. What I'm telling you is really uncomfortable. It's an interruption. I get it, but it is worth it, whether you see the benefit or not. It is worth it. And I know that because there's a family I met who lived this. So this past summer, my daughter and I had the opportunity to go to El Salvador on a GlobalX journey. And during this mission trip, we were able to serve with a ministry called La Casa de Mi Padre, which means my father's house. And what they do in El Salvador is phenomenal. In the jungles of El Salvador, they are able to get kids from the community, get kids from the community who've been abused, and they bring them into a home with house parents and raise them up, and they've got so many success stories. If you know our partner, Eagle Ranch, they modeled it after them. And so this was the trip I got to go with my daughter, Eden, before she went to college, so it was super special to me. But not only that, the families who were on the trip really got this understanding of serving others. So when they were there, they were all in. But there was one family in particular that really challenged me in a good way. So when we got off the plane, we jumped on a bus for about an hour and a half ride to a Wendy's, which, side note, that Wendy's was amazing. Man, the fast food there was actually very clean. But on the way there to the Wendy's, I asked them a question that I love asking families whenever I go on a GlobalX journey. And it's, why'd you decide to do this? Like, why'd you decide? Because I know it's hard. It's not easy. And so this family, their name is the Wellens. Their whole family was there. Two parents, four kids, ranging from 19 to 10. Yeah, you heard that right. College, high school, middle school, elementary. And they were all there and they were happy to be there. And I was like, I need to know more about this. So on the bus ride, I go, hey, what made you decide to do this? They said, this has been our life. It has been nonstop. Kids in activities, kids in sports, job has been just driving us crazy. We feel like strangers in the night. We haven't sat down for a meal in forever, and we just barely see each other, and we barely know each other, and we're providing everything for our kids, and we just don't want them to feel entitled. And so we said, something needs to change. And they said, you know what? Because our lives have been so hectic, church had become a small rock. And it was in there, but it had become a small rock, and very rarely did they make it a priority or even come. So they said, one Sunday we woke up and we said, everybody get up, we're going to church today. And they're like, whoa. And they went. And on that Sunday, they talked about Global X and these mission trips. And because of that, they said, they looked at each other, the parents, and said, that's what we need to do. That'll help us. So they went home and looked at the trips, and they picked this one at the end of July to go. And they said, and everyone in the family revolted. Are you, that's camp, that's, I got practices, and that's work. I've got work projects that need to be get done. That's like my most busiest time. But they said, you know what? Nope, we're not gonna react. We're going to prioritize this and organize our whole lives around being able to go that week. And you know how that is, because you have to raise money, you have to take off work, take off school, tell coaches no, like, right? All those things. It's a lot. But they said, we'd made this decision, so we're gonna stick with it. And so we are here because of that. We wanna honor what God has told us to do. And so on the ride to Wendy's, I asked them the next question. I go, well, so was it worth it? And they looked at me and go, I don't know, I hope so. Being real. But then throughout the trip, we would debrief every night, and their faces were, there's such big smiles. And they would talk about how they watched their kids not think of themselves, and how they even started not thinking of themselves as they were digging ditches in the El Salvadorian heat, moving giant pavers, and then after that, playing football, soccer for us Americans, with the kids. And they said, I just saw the smiles on their faces. So I decided to ask the question again from the hotel to the airport as we were leaving at the end of the trip. And so I go, was it worth it? And they both look at me and stop and go, every part of it. Last night we talked as a family and we realized we gotta keep doing this. We're gonna reorganize our whole life around this priority. We're gonna make sure that we are constantly serving others. All of us fell in love with this and this feeling and understanding this is more important than everything else we're doing. This is the life we want to have. And their story reminds me of a quote by Warren Wiersbe, who's an author and writer. And he says this, most of the people you meet day after day are either wasting their lives or merely spending their lives. But God's servant, they have the privilege of investing their lives in what is eternal. So I guess my question to you is, are you ready to stop wasting your time on things in your life that aren't necessary? Right? Are you ready to take out a rock? Maybe social media. Maybe just scrolling all the time. Maybe it's binging on that show. Maybe it's obsessing over fantasy football. I did that yesterday. I'm gonna put that one back. Just pretend you didn't hear that. But are you ready to stop wasting your time on things that in your life that aren't necessary, that aren't what God has called you to do, that what God wants you to do? And are you ready to prioritize His way, the better way, the way that moves you from this to this? Because He tells us when you live this way, everything will fall into place. It won't be perfect and easy, but everything will fit and fall into place because you'll realize the bigger priorities are more important, and that's Him and His love for you and His love for other people. So before I close, I do have a quick action step that I'm gonna ask you to do, and I'm gonna challenge you to actually think about doing it right now. Now, you won't be able to fully complete it right now, but I want you to prioritize this. Maybe you need to write it down, take a picture of what I'm about to show you. But the reason I did this message, you're gonna see right through me, is to get you to this one point. And the reason we have our nonprofit partners out there is because I want you to be willing to give up 2 hours in the next couple of weeks to serve one of them out there. And so if you would text this number, HMSERVE to 51255, HMSERVE to 51255, you'll get a list of all the projects they have given to us that they said they need people to help with. Now, some of these are in person. Some of these you're able to do on your own. Some of these are family friendly, so you can bring your kids. There's even Global X journeys to do in the spring. But I want you to focus in the next couple of weeks, what are 2 hours that you can remove a rock and put this rock in for just 2 hours with your family, yourself, your group of friends, whatever you need to do, I want to challenge you. So to either take a picture or go ahead and text it and make it a priority this week to find a project. And here's the thing. Once you sign up for a project, write it down. Remind yourself. Those partners are counting on you to show up. And when you show up, and every time I've done this, every person I've talked to, they never regret it. They have to change some things. They might have to cut something that week, but they never regret it. And hopefully it'll help while you're doing it. You remember my voice in your head going, Raul and Jesus, not just me, want you to reprioritize your life around serving others. And so let's be a group of people who do that, who are willing to live the full life and the free life that Jesus calls by reorganizing our life around this teaching that only Jesus can give us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are so good and you love us so much that you want us to, and the fact that you want us to enjoy life makes you so different than any other belief system, which is what makes this true, is you challenge us and you send your son to die for us. You didn't just talk about it. You proved it's true by sending Jesus to die for us so that every single day we can have life by trusting you. Now, this is hard, Lord. I know. So help us, myself included, reorganize and reprioritize our lives around loving and serving others and putting them first, because that's what you did for us. And when we do this, the gospel, the good news about Jesus doesn't stay with us. And it shows our community what we're for, that we, God is, that you are for them, and so are we. So Lord, I just pray that you guide us in this. Help us find time to do this week as we reflect, as we remove, and as we replace what you have called us to do. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for Jesus. It's in his mighty name I pray. Amen.